going to be talking about something that's that's new to some people, new to many people, about the position of elders, bishops, overseers, ministers, whatever they're called, leaders in the church, and about what the Bible has to say about them, what they were originally for, what they were for, period, not originally, but why God started the position of elders and overseers. And so it's got several, I don't know what to call them, prongs, paths that lead to the same conclusion. So we'll go down these separate paths to see that they all join together with one meaning about these positions, these offices, and the responsibility that the Church of God God placed it on the body of Christ for the Church of God. Church of God being Israel's church, Peter, James, John, the little flock, the kingdom church, however you want to call it, that church in Jerusalem that had also had spread out and scattered through Judea, preaching to none but the Jews. So, as we go through the scriptures, we're going to be looking for two or three things. Two things, basically, and we'll see a third thing later on. This will probably take three sessions to get through it, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. But, first of all, we're going to look for relief aid. Aid from the body of Christ churches to the Church of God in Jerusalem. And why they needed relief. Okay, the second thing would be leadership in the body of Christ churches. We're going to explore what the Bible says about that. Without any preconditions, preconceived ideas, welcome to the room. Sorry about my throat. I think it's on the improve. but in referring to the leadership within the body of Christ churches, we need to rid our minds of any preconceived ideas which we may have from traditions or from being told things that left an unscriptural impression. You know, there have been many from what is it, 225 A.D. on, or maybe it's 320, I don't remember, when Constantine's dream and hope of conquering the world using the cross or whatever he thought it was. Anyway, from then on, there have been traditions impressed on the church and on people, even breaking away from that start. I shouldn't say start from that corruption. Trying to break away from it, and they carry parts with them. You know, we don't need religion. We don't need denominations. What we need is salvation, and we need the Word of God. We need to follow what God says, not what man said that God says, or what man said God must have meant. Follow the Word of God. You got the Bible in your hands in the King James Version. Study it. Don't let the time pass and get past you without you having gotten a little bit more into the Bible. Start in Romans. That's where we are today. And then you can add the other parts, how we got to where we are. But we also need to identify which verses are actually talking about leadership in the church, in the body of Christ church, not talking about Israel's church, what you find there starting in Matthew 16 or in Acts, early Acts at least, early Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, up through about 10 or 11. You see the little flock church, and it's there even in past the end of Acts. Paul refers to it in Titus 1, 10, not in good terms, but I hesitate to use the term remnant, because that means a believing part, but there was still a part there from the circumcision. So we need to identify which verses are actually talking about the leadership and not talking about ministering or serving. To serve is different than to lead. We need to get that clear in our mind. Serving is like waiting a table. It's serving up the gospel, maybe, or serving by sweeping the floor. There are many ways you can serve. You can serve by leading songs. That edges into leading, but actually it's not leading in spiritual things. It's keeping the group together in their singing. But we don't want to be talking about just a position or an office, though. We want to find out what the Bible is actually saying about leadership within the churches, the body of Christ churches. And we'll get more into get to more about the biblical church leadership later on in the study. And here we only want to identify the three main sources of church leadership information that Paul gives us about the body of Christ churches in his epistles, he tells us. And that would be Philippians 3:17, 1 Thessalonians 1:7, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. Probably the most familiar one. But let's start with the information Paul has provided about the early body of Christ churches and about their aid. Switching over to talking about the relief now, the aid, in a little different path leading to the same thing that we'll end up with. But the aid to the Church of God in Jerusalem. In the Bible, relation to what Paul is talking about and the body of Christ church is giving to the need of the Jerusalem church, there are 11 events referenced. And in the Bible, I'm going to try and go through them in order, the order that I find I think they're in. We'll start in Acts 11, and I'm going to go through and just kind of name them first of all so you can see where we're going, and then we'll go through and talk about them pretty much in order. Remember, this is about relief, body of Christ relief to the Church of God in Jerusalem. Acts 11, 27 to 30, and chapter 12, verse 25, the body of Christ's first action. The very first thing the body of Christ does once it's begun as a church, they determine to send relief to the needy people there in Jerusalem. Not just people in Jerusalem, but the people in the Church of God there. That was the outcome of the Matthew 16 church that Jesus Christ himself said, "I will build." It was the Israel of God. So, second of the 11 events would be in Acts 14, verses 21 to 23. The Lord has Paul ordain elders in every church that he has established. Galatians 2, verses 9 and 10. We should remember the poor. It's not a law, but it's something we should do. Not you and me. That's what Paul was saying to the Galatians that he was writing to, those Jews and Greeks that had come out of the synagogues and believed Paul and met in Paul's meetings with him. He's saying, we, Paul and those Jews and Greeks, should remember the poor back in Jerusalem that needed to be kept alive because they had sold everything to bring in the kingdom as Christ told them to do. And then the kingdom didn't come because Israel rejected it and blasphemed the Holy Ghost there in Acts 7, the unforgivable sin for Israel. The Lord took care of those people that had sold everything to bring in the kingdom, and they had obeyed, and God didn't desert them. That was the first thing that the church there in Antioch did. With Paul there with them, they determined to send funds to as relief to the church in Jerusalem. So that brought us up to Galatians 2, verses 9 and 10. That's the third of 11 events. The fourth would be 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Just a brief, almost in passing, but he it's important enough to Paul that he mentions that he says, support the weak. Support. 1 Corinthians is the fifth. 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4. There's a lot in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. But in 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4, and then again in 13-18, Paul said, I have given order. He said, talking about another church, and then he says, so do ye, submit yourselves unto such. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4, if you're writing these down, I'll try and say them slowly. 8, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1, verse 10, 12, 13, and basically that whole section there from the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 through chapter 9, verse 15, talking about ministering to the saints. That's not preaching. That's serving up things to the saints. They needed food. They were the needy saints in Jerusalem, that Paul called them in Acts 20, ministering to the saints. And then he says, this service supplieth the want of the saints. And he talks about their liberal distribution. Okay, let's go to Romans. Romans 12, verse 13. He says, distributing to the necessity of the saints. He brings it up again. And then in chapter 15 of Romans, verses 25 to 27, minister unto the saints, he says. And he says, a certain contribution for the poor saints. He says, they're debtors, they are. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Carnal meaning physical. Carnal, well, carnivorous. Meat, their food. They needed food to stay alive there in Jerusalem, having sold all. And then we get to some that are one that is very defining and one that is questioned. I don't think I ever heard anybody that understands it the way I see it in the scripture. But okay, let's start with the very defining one. That's Acts 20, verse 17 and verse 28 and verses 33 to 35. The Holy Ghost. Paul, and this will show where we're going here, and why, because of what the Word of God said. Paul called down the elders, called them down to Miletus, called them from Ephesus. They were the elders in the church in Ephesus. Called them down to Miletus, because he was on a fast track to Jerusalem on the boat. And he said to these elders, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Not is making you. I'm not making you overseers. The Holy Ghost isn't now making you overseers. The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. In other words, when they were made elders, they were made overseers. Why? To feed the church of God. So that is the scripture's only definition of an elder. They were overseers to feed the church of God, which is not here anymore. It was a temporary thing. Anyway, so you can take what you want from that. But laboring, you ought to support the weak, he says, in that same section. So he was still telling them about the need to send funds for food for the church in Jerusalem. And two more. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. Through 1 Timothy, okay, Bill, thanks for being here. 1 Timothy 2 through 8 through 1 Timothy 3:16. He talks about a good work. He says, take care of the church of God. It's a good work to want to be an elder, to take care of the church of God. How thou oughtest, he says, he's teaching Timothy how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of God, the church of the living God. Well, the adjective doesn't change it. He's talking about the church of God, which would be Jerusalem. Then finally, the 11th, before we get into more, Titus chapter 1, verses 5 and 7 equates elders and bishops. Elders and bishops. Of course, bishops, they're already equated there in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and 28. Paul said, you elders are overseers, and that's what a bishop, that's the word for bishop, is overseer. So he says in Titus 1, 5, and 7, set in order the things that are wanting. What was wanting? Those poor stomachs of the people in Jerusalem. They needed to be fed. Set in order. They weren't sending anything to help. Set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders. Elders were to oversee the feeding of the church of God in Jerusalem. And he talks about the steward of God, that they are administrators of the filling of this need that church had there in Jerusalem. All right, just for orientation, kind of, Let's preview some verses. I don't know if anybody has a, if someone has a poster and could post some of these verses, it would probably help to see them too. But we're going to look at Romans 15 verses 25 and 26. Romans 15 verses 25 and 26. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Verse 26, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Very plainly stated. You can't get around, you can't say that, well, he didn't mean that. You're taking him wrong. No, it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And it started that way in chapter 11 of Acts. They decided, they weren't harangued by Paul or told it, made it, it wasn't made a law that they had to take care of that church in Jerusalem, but it was given to them. They were told they should, and reasons why they should. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:3. Verse 3, and when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. You know, the body of Christ churches were all separate from the churches of Judea and the Church of God in Jerusalem. They were separate. It wasn't like a tax that the body of Christ churches had to pay to Jerusalem. This was voluntary, and it was recommended, suggested, but it wasn't a law or anything like that. And we see that this is an early reference to the elders before they were named as such. When he says, when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. let me just get a sip here. as we look in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Let me see if I can just put that up there. Hold on a minute here. Where we are? Yeah. Okay. There we go. Oops, no, it didn't go. There we go. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. So Paul had called the Ephesian elders down from Ephesus to Miletus, and he's having a meeting with the elders, with those that are the overseers of these funds to take them to Jerusalem. And he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Well, the body of Christ is never called a flock. We're never called sheep. He's talking about Israel. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath already done it, hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So the Lord went through all that for the church of God, and he's telling them that they should take heed unto themselves and to all the flock. Verse 35. In Acts 20, here I can put it up there. Sorry for the delay, but I think it helps to see the verses. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. So, in other words, you might have to work longer, but get some extra money to send to support the weak. And this is the same context here, you know, a few verses after, seven verses later, after verse 28 that we just covered there, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So there we've got... some red letters back there in Acts 20. The Lord said, that's where that saying comes from. That's the only place it is in the Bible. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's what he's talking about. Earning some extra money, labor, so laboring you ought to support the weak. And ought to. It's something you should be doing. It's not a law, again, but it's something to do that's needed. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9. So I'm trying to push away both extremes. It's not something to be ignored just because it's not a law that Paul is making. But on the other hand, it isn't a law. It is not a law. It is something that needs to come from their heart because they have been shown grace themselves. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9, as it is written. Here, wait, let me get that up there. This is, I'm going to move this over just a second. 9, verse 9. And as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 12, for the administration of this service, giving funds to buy food for the church in Jerusalem, the administration of this service, well, one other thing to say about that, the administration of it would be what the elders do. They're administering it. They're stewards of it. That's their job. That's why they were made overseers to feed the church of God. But for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And let's go to verse 13. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. So it has to do with spreading the gospel of Christ, I'm talking about the Jews and Israel, the church, Israel's church there in Jerusalem. They are believing that God did send a gospel through Paul that others can believe. They're not called to believe it. They're called to be the remnant, the prophetic remnant in Jerusalem, in the church in Jerusalem. Those apostles are going to sit on 12 thrones in the kingdom on earth. They're not going to be in the body of Christ. They've got their position already established. So the body of Christ is good for us, but not for them. Just like Israel isn't good for us, but it is for them. Somebody has to be taking care of whipping Satan here on earth while we're up in the heavenlies doing the same. So, did I finish that? I didn't finish that verse. Verse 13, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, this passing out of food and serving others, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, I beseech you, a thought just came into my mind. I hope nobody thinks after all these about relief, I'm going to pass the offering plate or something. Nope, that's not the way here. And that's not the purpose. We're trying to discover God's word and discover God's leadership in the church. Okay, and how this fits in. As well as the way women, God uses women in the church, and their unique and necessary position. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They volunteered to take this money and to give money and to, I don't know how, you know, somehow they're ministering or serving those saints, even though they weren't called on to do it. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Verse 16, next verse, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Well, that's in the context. It's about this giving to the church in Jerusalem, but it looks to me like it can be more widely applied to leadership within the church, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. And to everyone, the and means not only those in relation to the church in Jerusalem, but to everyone that helps with us, Paul and Silas, and laboreth and works. So, you know, there's some indication that they are to submit themselves to those that work in the church and helps with them, with Paul, follows Paul's pattern according to Philippians 3:17. Welcome to the room. Good to see you. And I hope you're getting more relief lately. Talking about relief in the church, different kind of relief, aid to the church of God in Jerusalem, and leadership within the church. We're going to be getting into that in these lessons, and also women's role in the church. But in the beginning, the aid, going back to look at each of these sections, these 11 events of this nature that we traced in the Bible. Look at them in more detail now. In the beginning, the aid from Antioch of Syria to Jerusalem. You know, they had dispersed, and some went to Antioch, and some, you know, they were only teaching. This is from, let me get into the verses. That'll explain it. Sorry for the fumbling around, but Acts 11, verse 27, if someone can post these verses, it'll help. The verse list is in the verse list page at the website, or this is Acts 11, 27. We'll be going through 30, verse 30. In these days came prophets from Jerusalem and to Antioch. Those prophets were prophecy program prophets, not Body of Christ prophets, there to acknowledge the Word of God being revealed to Paul. Verse 28, Acts 11:28, there stood up one of them named Agabus, and I think Agabus shows up, I can't think if it's later or earlier, but that's not the first time he shows up in the Bible, or not the last time, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. 11:29, then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, verse 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Those elders, they were Israel's elders in the church of God in Jerusalem, not the Body of Christ elders in the churches of the Gentiles that we've been just talking about just before. Those were, you know, it says the apostles and elders in the church of God in Jerusalem. That's those elders. Acts chapter 12, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So you've got John Mark that wrote the book of Mark, and was apparently a nephew of Barnabas, going with them. So that's pretty much what we know about the Acts 11 distributing of funds or relief to the Jerusalem church for their needy saints, because they had sold all to bring in the kingdom. And welcome to the room. And let's talk about aid from Galatia to Jerusalem, from the province or area of Galatia. I don't know if that's, you know, I tend to think of it as like it was saying the Midwest. It's not necessarily a state or a well-defined province, but it's an area there in the middle of Turkey somewhere, or it was, but I guess at that time Turkey wasn't there either, though, Asia Minor, whatever, in that area. So the verses, Acts 14, 20, starting with 21, we'll go through 23. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that would be Derbe, D-E-R-B-E, and had taught many, they returned to Lystra, where Paul had been stoned earlier in a few verses earlier, actually, two verses earlier. He had been stoned in Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, in that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about the kingdom of God coming to earth or the kingdom coming out of heaven to earth. That was Israel's hope, the kingdom of heaven coming from the kingdom of God to earth. But so, and he had much to talk about, having just been stoned. And so he's saying that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, that's where those Acts 20, verse 17 elders came from Ephesus to Miletus. Here in Acts 14, verse 23, they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So that's they were preparing. The elders were necessary, for the only definition of elders in the Bible, Body of Christ elders. Hi, and welcome. Hi, Ed. They were prepared. Losing my train of thought. But these elders were... Well, in Acts 20:28, they were this mind of mine? Let me just get it in front of me here. Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, Israel, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers with a particular purpose to feed the church of God. Talking to elders. That was the elder, the definition of their duties, was to feed the church of God in Jerusalem, feed the flock. Food. They were starving. They'd sold everything. They didn't have any money to buy food. And the Lord provided through the body of Christ. He wasn't going to desert them after they had sold everything to bring in the kingdom. They were the faithful ones. Look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, and see the separation there between them. Who's going to be doing what? And we're going to look at verse 9 and verse 10. Let me get them up there. I think I can. Yeah, I do have it here. Okay. And when James, Cephas, or Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that's Paul speaking, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen. And they undo the circumcision. So they limited themselves to the circumcision. That's the true circumcision. Not the apostate Israel. That'd be the ones that they'd already brought into the group. They were ministering to themselves from then on. Go on to verse 10. Only they would that we should, here it is, remember the poor. So Peter, James, and John say to Paul that we wish you would remember the poor. They're talking about their poor, the poor saints in the church of God in Jerusalem. And Paul says, the same which I also was forward to do. The poor, it's the poor in the church of God there in Jerusalem. And we're just about done for today. I guess my voice did hold up, barely. I'm going to start looking at, there's not much. Let's go ahead with Thessalonica, from which is in Macedonia, incidentally. Thessalonica to Jerusalem, and look at 1 Thessalonians. Where is that? Oh, that's verse 10 there. Hold on. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren. This is Paul talking to the church in Thessalonica. Separated out, Paul's meeting, not the synagogue anymore. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. There it is. He's keeping on reminding them that those people still, you know, every day they wake up hungry in Jerusalem. Be patient toward all men. And we'll stop there for today. Any comments or questions?